Welcome back, high school hockey fans. It's this week's edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. Burglars along with the ride, Trasher, and also Del Scanlon along to fill out our panel for the night. Junior doing all the button pushing back there and keeping us on at the worldwide headquarters. So let's get to it. Playoff action. Plenty of it. Got a couple game recaps that guys were able to catch. We'll start out first with Del. Madison Memorial taking on Sun Prairie in a regional final game at Sun Prairie. And Del, sounded like this was a pretty interesting affair between these two Big Eight rivals.
Yeah, thanks, MJ. It was a very good game. The first period, the Cardinals were able to jump off to a lead late in the first period with under 2 minutes remaining as Alex Kurtz scored a goal assisted by Connor Mikula, and outshot Memorial 17-5 in the first period. But the interesting thing that happened in that period, at the end of the period, after the period ended, was Ryan Kenny picked up a unsportsmanlike 2-10 to end the period. What had happened was two sticks came down. One of them hit him upside the head there in net, and the referee did not make a call for a penalty. And you weren't able to tell, was it a Sun Prairie stick that hit him or was it one of his own teammates? But, you know, Kenny was upset about it and talking to the referee after the whistle, and you could see him signaling to his head about being hit. Referee let him talk for a little bit, and then looked like he told him, okay, that was enough, and Mr. Kenny kept going for a little bit, and then you saw the hand come out signaling the penalty. And so for the first 12 minutes, 5 seconds of the second period, Ryan Kenny was sitting in the penalty box, and Wes Turner came in and filled in goal. And during that time, Turner ends up giving up one goal on 11 shots that he faced in the period as Kyle Hagerman scored a power play goal in the second period. And that ended up being the only scoring in the second period, but the Spartans found themselves down 2-0 at the end of two. Memorial did come back, scored a goal with 7:22 of the third period as they converted a power play by Jackson Welsh, assisted by Colin Suppel. But the Cardinals answered that with another goal and held on to a 3-1 victory to win the game and advance to the sectional semifinals, where they'll be hosting Middleton on Tuesday evening.
Del, that is wow. I mean, look at this here. First off, Ryan Kenny is a very good goaltender. And obviously when he's getting hit in the head like that, you know, it's saying it happened. If he's carrying on about that long, he may have something to it. But at the same time, when you look at this, first thing you don't want to do is you don't want to throw out or give 2-10 to the best player on their team, on any team. So I don't know. I wasn't there, but I don't know if he said any magic words or anything. But to take out their top goaltender, who's one of the better goaltenders in the state, for 12 and a half minutes, that just seems unheard of.
Well, and like you said, you don't know exactly what words were said. We're on the other side of the plexiglass. You couldn't hear anything that was being said. And at the same time, like I said, two sticks came down. And when I saw it, I actually thought it was his own teammate's stick. It could have been a Sun Prairie stick because the puck was out there in front. Ryan did have the puck covered up. And so even the stick coming in, you know, should have been a slashing call from Sun Prairie. But, you know, the stick that hit him upside the head, I couldn't tell whose it was. And, you know, he obviously felt that it was a Sun Prairie player. And, you know, referee, you know, they're going to let you go for a little bit, but they're not going to let you keep going. And so, like you said, you don't know if there's any magic words or said or what. But, you know, to the Spartans' credit, they held tight. You know, Wes Turner only gave up one goal on those 11 shots, and he was facing some rapid fire down there.
You know, when I think about this, it to me it just sounds so ridiculous. But it, you know, but it, obviously it's true. I wondered what was John Spencer, the head coach's take on that, because you know, John knows how to rein things in, and I just kind of wondering how John was taking all this.
I didn't ask John about it after the game was over. I watched his reaction as the referee was explaining it to him at the end of the first period, and I thought that Coach Spencer was very well controlled over there. He did not seem to be overly upset about the call or anything else, and you know, just kind of went on with it. At the same time, you know, he's not going to end up saying anything that gets him another bench minor at that point and find themselves down two people to start this next period. So, you know, as it is, you know, they were in a one-goal game at that point in time.
Rest of you guys, you ever heard of anything like this? I'll take that as a no.
Well, I saw in a game earlier, actually it was in the showdown in Titletown, one of the Madison Edgewood goalies got a 5-minute, and I can't remember if it was for slashing or something, or cross-checking, and he had to sit for 5 minutes while the backup goalie came in, and that had been, I think, the first time that I had seen a goalie in person sit in the penalty box.
I came across it once.
Yeah, those goalies think they can do whatever they want because they never have to go serve their own time. But, you know, it's good for them every once in a while to have to do their own time instead of making somebody else do it for them. Goalies get away with too much.
Hey, it just doesn't seem right that they should get tossed in the box for 12 minutes for saying abracadabra. Go figure.
I just think it's a little harsh, but unless he said some magic words, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I wasn't there. Trasher, you had a chance to watch Appleton United take on Fox Cities, two teams that have been in our top 10, and that all came up looking like what?
Well, it came up looking like the number 4 seed, Fox Cities, was a little overmatched in that game by the number 5 seed, Appleton United. And I didn't really hear it from anybody, but I think United took exception to the lower ranking. They probably thought they should have been playing at Appleton Family Ice Center instead of at Tri-County, but that's where it was at, Tri-County Arena in Neenah. That rhymes. Appleton came out and scored 3 goals in the first 7 minutes. Eric Bargholz had 2 of them before Fox Cities cut it to 3-1. And then late in the period, well, not real late, but like 4 minutes left, Hunter Schwer got tagged with a 5-minute boarding major, which gave Appleton 5 minutes worth of power play. And they took advantage of it, scoring once 30 seconds into the power play, and that's how the period ended, 4-1, Appleton United. Shots were 13-11 in their favor. And that game also saw something weird happen. One of the penalty box attendants apparently took exception to a referee's call and was possibly saying a few magic words to him, too, because the next thing I know, the penalty box guy's walking on the ice, comes off on the player's bench, and was sent packing. So he apparently was not pleased. And first time I ever saw a penalty box guy get booted from the game. Second period, Connor Zilich scored 30 seconds in for the second power play goal on that 5-minute major to make it 5-1. And then with 50 seconds left in the period, Appleton United scored again. Grayson Mollick scored to make it 6-1 going to the third period. Fox City scored early in, and then Jonathan Kwasny goal to make it 6-2, and that was all the scoring. The last 15 and a half minutes, no goals. Shots in the game were Fox City's outshot Appleton, 35-23. The sophomore goalie for Appleton United, Gage Olson, had a nice game. He stopped 33 of 35. And Matthew Gruber, a player of the year finalist, had three assists in that game. Connor Zilich had a goal and two helpers, and Barg Holtz had two goals and a helper. So it was a good game. Appleton United looked really tough, really focused, and they were definitely on a mission, and they did not fail. So the final from Tri-County Ice Arena, 6-2 Appleton United, and they will come back there tomorrow night to play host Nina, who is the number one seed. Nina Hortonville-Menasha takes on Appleton United, and that game's at 7:30 tomorrow night at Tri-County. That should be one of the better games in the state tomorrow night, guys.
It just seems funny, a minor official, off-ice official being tossed, but I mean, I suppose it happens, especially if you're slanted towards the team, and you know, I guess you say the magic words or whatever the case may be.
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra. But yeah, we're always, you know, I can tell you that we're people who do off-ice officiating, such as myself, that we're always told to be neutral, and we are to more or less be seen, not heard. So,
well, especially if you have a child who was playing in that particular game, it's not always easy to do that. I know you're supposed to, and as like in your case as well as mine, doing either the scorekeeping, announcing, whatever, there's times when, you know, you kind of let a few choice comments fly, maybe not cussing or anything, but you know, why'd you miss that call? That's a terrible call or whatever. And yeah, we're supposed to be quiet, but the parent in us doesn't always let that happen. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening to this podcast and can probably say the same thing.
You know what? When you're an off-ice official, if you have a player on the other, on a team that you have a very vested interest in, such as a kid who is playing, and you're an off-ice official, it's probably better you don't be an off-ice official for that game. If you can't, you know, keep it separated, then it's probably better you just don't do the job. Have somebody else do it.
So the fact that I grabbed the microphone and said that's a terrible call, that just doesn't cut it?
Yeah, that.
Okay.
I'll tell you, there's been times like when I've done, you know, for example, when I'm doing Janesville games, I do the public address for them, and I do the score sheet. So when the ref comes over, and I know it's a horrible call, and you know, all of us kind of know it's a bad call. Nobody's agreeing, players, coaches, or whatever. And what I do is I just put my head down and I write it. And when I read it off, I don't give any inflection of showing up the referee with my voice.
But
I just put my head down because that's just, you know, it's like Carl Vallemont said, because if you're out there arguing a penalty or something, nothing good happens of it. Get to the box. Perfect example, Ryan Kenny. Okay.
Okay, moving right along.
I feel better now.
All right, I'm glad you do. I lost my spot.
Had to throw in that shameless Carl Vallemont plug, by the way.
I won't even start with all the people who have been tossed out of rinks in Antigo in minor as minor officials, as radio commentators, as score booth announcers. We have had everybody thrown out.
Radio commentators?
Yes.
Was it you?
I'm not going to say.
How could you go? You can't throw a radio commentator out. That's ridiculous. But you know, maybe he had seen enough too and decided, he threw me out? Good. All right. I don't have to watch this anymore. Anyways, Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week. All of them are Games of the Week because they are all that crucial on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. No Thursday. Friday and Saturday nights. The Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine provides cutting-edge personalized sports performance and injury preventive programs, training with world-class experts and state-of-the-art facilities and technology in Burglar. As we've talked before, all these games right now are the game of the week because they are pretty important.
That's true. Can't argue with you there.
Okay. Well, if you don't want to, that's fine.
It's one and done time.
You just pick and choose your fights, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, well, when you pick them with me, you usually win, so that's fine. Okay, Radisson Madison Players of the Week. I won't argue with you about this one at all, but you've got it. Burglar, tell us about our Radisson of Madison Players of the Week.
Well, first we should say that the Radisson of Madison is Madison's premier Westside hotel and the official state tournament home of Wisconsin Prep Hockey. And then, as with the Mayo Sports Clinic Games of the Week, everybody's our player of the week this week because all of the players are important. Right? No? Okay, some are more important than others.
There's two that are more important than the others.
There are two. Actually, there were three, but we had to narrow it down to two because that's how we roll. On the boys' side, Eric Stinson, a junior forward from Brookfield, had one goal and one assist in an 8-5 win over Fond du Lac on Tuesday. And then on Saturday, in an upset win, three goals and three assists in an 8-6 win over Homestead. So for that, Eric Stinson, I think I said Stinson the first time, but there's no T there. Eric Stinson of Brookfield, a junior forward, is our Radisson-Madison Boys Player of the Week. On the girls' side, from the Western Wisconsin, Bree Larkowski. She only had one game this week, but she had two goals and an assist in a 4-3 win over the St. Croix Valley Fusion on Thursday. Also an upset win, lower seed beating, or higher seed beating the lower seed. Bree Larkowski from Western Wisconsin, our girls' Radisson Madison Player of the Week.
You know, as we tell you every week, though, there were some really good candidates in it for this week. I mean, some of these kids really had some outstanding games. And
we should probably mention our runner-up on the girls' side.
Go ahead.
I'm looking for her name. I forgot already.
Kaylee Manglitz from Onalaska.
That's her.
All three goals.
Yep, three goals and a 3-1 win over Black River Falls, a number 5 over a number 4.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
It was a close vote.
Yeah, very close. It's Radisson.
Yes, Bree Larkowski, our winner this week.
Radisson Madison Players of the Week brought to you by Burglar. Radisson of Madison is Madison's premier Westside hotel, official state tournament home of Wisconsin Prep Hockey. Well, we're going to do something we're just going to do it.
Because we neglected to do it.
Yeah, because we're just bumbling idiots at times.
Yes.
Okay, well, what we're going to do now...
We're idiots at all times, just bumbling some of the time.
Okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and go through the sectional semis, and who do we think will make the finals? And
we're going to go through the sectional finals and who's going to beat who.
And who's going to state?
That's what we decided, yes.
Okay. I must have missed. That must have been when I was going to refill my drink. Anyways.
Your coffee? Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and start here, guys, with the section number one. Number one, Hudson takes on the Somerset Co-op, I believe.
Which is the Western Wisconsin Stars.
Yeah. I was gonna say that, but I don't want to.
You should look at our site, not the WIAA's.
Well, actually, I clicked on the link on our site.
Don't click. Click on the one above it. Man, how long you worked for us?
How long have I been the guy that everybody can kick around?
Yeah.
Okay. Girls, Hudson against Western Wisconsin, and then the ECA Stars taking on Hayward Spooner. In the other sectional semi. Guys, who do you got?
Well, your first game, Hudson's going to, I believe, knock off Western Wisconsin. Hudson's there with a 15-game winning streak going on. And I think they're going to actually end up playing the 1-2 in the sectional final. And I'm going to go ahead and go with Hudson to win it and make a trip back to state for the first time in quite a few years.
Michael?
Yeah, I agree with Dell. I think Hudson will beat Western Wisconsin. I don't know if they can find lightning in a bottle two consecutive games. Western Wisconsin, that is. And then you have number 2 seed Hayward against number 3 ECA Stars. You have so many good players on both teams in that game. That's a tough one to pick. So I'm going to say I'm not going to pick it, but I will say that Hudson is going to beat whoever they play, and Hudson is going to go to state. I think they just are – I mean, Anna Wilgren is a great player. She makes the players around her great. There's several other very nice players on that team. They just – I've seen them play two or three times, and lately they just – it's like they can't be stopped. So – as much as I like the Stars, as much as I like Hayward Spooner, I think Hudson is just going to – they're going to win that game by one goal, like 3-2, and they're going to go on to state. Burglar?
Okay, I'm going to stay on the Hudson bandwagon just because we were late jumping on that bandwagon, and, you know, by golly, we're going to hang on there as long as we can. And I looked hard at their opponent, the Eau Claire Altoona Stars. They lost to Hayward both times they played them, by one goal each time. But actually outshot Hayward like 2-1 in each of those games. Lauren Tremblay, you know, doing a fantastic job in net for Hayward. But I'm going to say that, somehow the Stars are going to find a way to slip a couple past her and get to the sectional final. And if the snow holds off, I'll be there for that one in Chippewa Falls and watch Hudson advance to the state tournament. Which brings us to MJ.
Well, as I look at this one, you know what? I'm going to agree with you, Burglar. I'm going to go with the ECA Stars. Beat them twice by one goal, but you know what? It's hard to beat a team three times in a row. As you said, a lot of great players on these teams. But I think this time the ECA Stars get by them. Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb on that one. And I'm not going to go out on a limb on the other one because I'm just thinking Hudson's just rolling too much. They'll meet in the sectional final, and you know what, guys? I'm going to have to go with Hudson. I mean, they're just playing that well right now, and if they hit a stumbling block, well, you know, it's going to be the ECA Stars.
And I know Bill Jr., you know, he's running things back at the home office and keeping track. And Bill, make note that MJ was the first one this season to bring up the it's hard to beat a team three times in a season.
Oh, I shouted at my computer.
MJ gets that.
Huh? Okay.
Oh, I shouted at the computer when he said that.
I hate it if I'm right, though. But
yeah.
You know, Bill Jr.'s got it set up pretty good. I mean, I was at our world headquarters, our field office in Las Vegas this weekend, and we got a pretty nice office there, guys.
All right, section two.
Section two. Let's go ahead and start. Burglar. Got a couple of games, Central Wisconsin Storm and Pines, and Fox City Stars at Point Rapids. Go ahead.
Yeah, this section is is the one that really doesn't take a whole lot of time and effort to continue. I mean, the Central Wisconsin Storm is just head and shoulders above anybody else in this section, and it would take a catastrophe of major proportion to keep them from going to state. So it doesn't matter who they're playing. It's Central Wisconsin.
Dell?
I'm agreeing with Burglar on this one. It's going to be Central Wisconsin. I think the only question is the over-under on shots on goal allowed by Central Wisconsin in the sectional championship. I'm putting it the over-unders at 15. I'll go with the under.
Dell, who's going to face them, though, in the bottom part of the bracket?
Red Panthers.
Michael?
Yeah. This is going to be 1 and 2 in the final, and the Storm will beat the Red Panthers, as much as I hate to say that. And I've been trying to hearken back as much as I can remember, and I think the winning streak is at least 15 games, if not maybe closer to 18. Shots in that game will probably be in the 35 to 15 range, and Storm seems to always want to score 6 or 7 goals against the Red Panthers, so I'm going to say 6-0 Storm. They'll move on to state.
Well, that leaves me then, and I'm going to go stay with the rest of the guys, Central Wisconsin Storm. I think the Red Panthers are going to come out of that on the bottom half, but Central Wisconsin Storm, I mean, they don't get challenged by too many teams, and I don't see any teams in this bracket really challenging them. If I'm wrong, you know, so be it, but I pick Central Wisconsin Storm as well. Section 3, Sun Prairie Cougars taking on Onalaska, and the Rock County Fury taking on the Metrolinx. And, guys, I'll start with Burglar again. How do you got this one?
Wow, I thought you were rotating, man.
Okay, right. I'll defer to Dell.
Thank you.
Well, this one's one of the brackets is going to be very interesting. That Sun Prairie on Alaska, both games this year were decided by 2-1 scores, and Sun Prairie won both of those games. And I'll come back to that one in a minute. The next game's another tight one, Rock County and the Metrolinx. Rock County's the sectional defending champ, having gone to state last year out of this sectional. They tied the Lynx the first game 3-3, and the Lynx won the second game. I believe it was a 3-1 score. So yep. I'm going to advance the Lynx up into that sectional final. And as much as I hate to do it, I'm going with the upset on the first one, and I'm picking the Hilltoppers to knock off the number one seed and make it to the sectional finals, where then I expect the Lynx to win the game and make their first trip to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum to make their first appearance in the state tournament.
Michael?
I can honestly say I don't know that much about this sectional. I know that Sun Prairie has been playing really well the last probably 3-4 weeks. I think they'll win that game, but it'll be close. Onalaska's been playing pretty well. They played a heck of a game against Black River Falls. The Manglitz girl with a 3-pack in that game, that's pretty impressive for a sophomore especially. I don't think Rock County is going to repeat their trip this year. I think that'll be the Lynx on the bottom half. And, man, you can just flip a coin. I have no idea, actually. But just because they're the number one seed, I'm going to go with Sun Prairie to head on to state in this sectional, guys.
Well, I've got the chance to see all three of these teams at one time or another. And I know people who've got kids on the Metrolinx. I know people who got, you know, kids on the Cougars. And I know a lot of people who got kids on Rock County. And since I cover Rock County the most, I'm going to pick Rock County over the Lynx. I'm going to pick Sun Prairie over Onalaska. And somehow, someway, Rock County is going to find a way to win and go back to state.
Oh, 4 bands.
There you go.
Right? 4 bands again?
Maybe.
When Rock County comes, they bring all their bands.
As long as they get the same song, it's okay.
All right. My turn then. And I had to, I was listening to what you guys were saying. I was rolling my lucky eight ball because, these four teams are all so close. And I mean, they've tied, they've split, they've done all this thing. And I go with who won the time they played last. You know, so the Metro Lynx, they beat Rock County the second time they played them. Sun Prairie beat them last the second time. So on that, I have to go with, the Sun Prairie seemed to be hotter at the end. The Lynx seemed to be hotter at the end. But Sun Prairie just a little bit more. So, yeah, I have to take the number one seed and the number two seed just because I think they were both playing better at the end of the season when it really matters.
Okay, so you're going to go with Sun Prairie to go to state?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's section three. Section four, Fond du Lac taking on USM and Appleton taking on Bay Area. And who should we start with this time?
I'll start this time since I went last time.
Oh, well, fine. Go ahead and start. Now you can't defer.
I think this one's not as much of a four-way run as the last section was, but it's not a runaway like section two. I think Fond du Lac and Bay Area are ahead above Appleton and USM at this stage. So I think it would be a big upset for those two not to meet in the final. As much as I like Bay Area's defense and their goaltending, I think Fond du Lac is just a little bit stronger up and down the lineup. And I hate to say I have to pick the number one seed again in Fond du Lac. They were number one for a reason.
All right, round two. Well, here's what I've got. I got Fond du Lac and USM. I'm going to take Fond du Lac, and in the bottom half of the bracket, I'm going to take the Bay Area Ice Bears. And they're going to meet in the sectional final. I'm going to take Bay Area. I like to go out on a limb a little bit on these. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong.
Sometimes it rains.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Crash Davis. Michael.
Like right now, it's raining. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I like number one, Fond du Lac. I think they've been consistently pretty good all year. I've seen USM play a couple of times. They've been up. They've been down. I'm sure Coach Jacob Howery is not totally satisfied with the way they've been playing. So anything can happen, but I think Fond du Lac is, their consistency has been better this year. They're just going to be a little bit better than U School. On the bottom half, Bay Area, I'm going to take them over Appleton. So it'll be 1 and 2 in the final. And I think that, Bay Area is a little healthier than they had been. The last time I saw them play, they had, I believe, 3 key players out, and I know they have at least one of them back, but
you're going to come to my side, aren't you?
To me, they have more high-end players than Fond du Lac. At least I think so. Fond du Lac might be deeper, but I think like players like Morgan Zirbel, Mia Dunning, Megan Sari, those are some pretty good players that they have there. And Anna Holzbach has been pretty darn solid all year in net. She's got good defense in front of her, and if everybody's healthy, I think that's going to be enough. I think it's going to be a 2-1 win for Bay Area, and they're going to go to state.
It's okay to agree with me, Michael. See, if Burglar did it more, then things would make a little bit more sense, but that's just not how he is.
Well,
Delmar.
Well, the top half, I'm going to go with Fond du Lac. USM has struggled finding players, to be consistently scoring. Dietert's had a very good season in net. I mean, she's a sophomore, and you know, she played last year as her goalie, and it's gotten better as the season's gone along. You can see her confidence improve. Fond du Lac, though, they've got a number of seniors on the team, and I believe it's fairly close to 8 seniors this year, including a senior goaltender. And I think that experience and that desire is going to really push them there. The bottom half, Appleton United beat Bay Area in their last game in a close game, but at the same time, as Trasher said, Bay Area was suffering from some injured players. Morgan Zerbel was out, still recuperating from a concussion, and a couple other players were still down. And I'm going to go with a 1-2 in the sectional final. And the last time those two met, the only time they met this season, Bay Area won that game. And I believe the final score was either 4-2 or 4-1. But I'm going to go with Fond du Lac to move on to the state in here. And that would actually give us three number one, in my picks, three number ones and a number two going to state for the girls.
You know, when you think about this, when you look here, Nicole Unsworth, what if she is still with USM? What would you do with USM then? You know, would it be the same arguments? Or Dell, you would know this better than the rest of us.
I mean, we look at what, you know, even last year with Nicole Unsworth, and you know, being the player she was, and she still had more around her last year than what they did this year. And I think they'd still be in the same boat they are this year. Because I think to a point this year, they've learned how to rely on so many of the other players. And whereas if Nicole was there, and nothing against Nicole. Nicole's a phenomenal player, and that's one reason she's playing prep hockey out east. But she, the team would be depending too much on her, and we've seen how other teams go out of their way to try to shut that player down. A good example is Onalaska, the 3 years that they went to state there with Teresa Knutson and Jason Reeves. You know, they had two phenomenal players on there and, you know, had some good games at state. Unfortunately, were never able to bring home that state title. And I really think that even if Nicole was there this year, I think the team in some ways became more of a team this year without having to depend on Nicole. And that's nothing bad about Nicole.
Yeah. And like the coaches like to say, MJ, let's talk about the players who are here, not the ones who aren't.
It was just kind of fun to bring up that subject just for the simple fact that, you know, she was the player that she is. She's, you know, a phenomenal player. Does she make that much of a difference? Maybe, maybe not. We'll never know.
Let's also mention that it's really tough to win three games in a season against one team.
Section 1, boys. Let's take a look at that one after that little comment from Michael. Third round has Hudson taking on Somerset and New Richmond taking on Superior in the other half of the bracket. What do you got, guys? I'll start with Michael since he last opened his mouth.
Smart ass, you mean? Okay, fine. I think Hudson has three players, well, actually four players, that are probably, if you put them all together, probably as good as any threesome slash foursome in the state. And that's Aaron Grounds at forward, Chase Blackman at defense, and Anthony Howard and Henry Baraboo at goalie. That's some pretty good players. I think that's good enough to go past Somerset. The bottom half, number two Superior versus three New Richmond at Westman. Man, I don't know. I mean, I saw New Richmond play a couple weeks ago, and they got a nice team. They work really hard. I have not seen Superior play. They've been up and down, but they've been playing better as of recently. I think just the fact that they're playing at Westman, that'll be enough to get them into the sectional final. But I think Hudson is on a mission. and I believe they are going to go back to state to try to avenge that state championship loss to Appleton United last year. So I'm taking number one seed Hudson to move on.
Who are you going to throw it to?
Burglar, what do you think?
Well, like I said in section one of the girls, you know, I am firmly entrenched on the Hudson bandwagon. So, yeah, sticking with them, especially after watching, you know, Chase Blackman play. I like Hudson in the first game. I have to pick Superior in the other one, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to go back home again. But then in the final, yeah, I've seen Superior play, and it's really hard. It's very hard to pick against them this time of year because, well, we recently saw what they can do this time of year when they, you know, set their minds to it. But I'm going to have to, especially since they're playing in Hudson, I'm going to pick Hudson in the final to go to state again.
Dell?
I haven't got to see any of these teams play. So, you know, I've listened to Trasher talk about them throughout the season. And I'm actually going to go with a Hudson Superior in the sectional finals. And I'm going to go along with the bandwagon right now and go with Hudson to represent sectional one. Back to you, MJ.
That leaves me. Well, guys, do I dare go out on a limb on this one? Well, first off, Hudson.
You are our limb walker.
Or be limbo.
Do you have a saw? If you have a saw, don't go out on the limb.
At least the saw behind you. Hudson and Somerset, I'm going to take Hudson on that one. I think Hudson just got way too much. And New Richmond and Superior, I think that this game's going to be closer than people think. It just seems like New Richmond always gives Superior a battle. And I'm going to go ahead and go with Superior. But in the sectional final, I'm going to go Hudson the winner. But you know what? I'm going to go even farther out on a limb. I'm going to say that it'll be an overtime game. It's just the way these two teams play. They're, you know, early in the season, it didn't look like they were that close, but the last time they played, maybe they are a little bit closer than what we think. So I say Hudson, but it's going to be a very close game. Don't be surprised you see overtime. Sectional number two, Eau Claire Memorial playing Rice Lake and Eau Claire North playing Chippewa Falls. And
can I go first?
Just for that, yes, go first.
Thank you. First of all, I've got nothing against Eau Claire Memorial. They're a fine team. They've represented themselves at the state tournament. Coach Schwenger is a fine coach, deserved to be a state tournament. But, you know, 30 years in a row representing Section 2 at the state tournament is long enough. Going with my thing of, you know, teams that are hot at the end of the season, two of the last three wins for Eau Claire North at the end of the season were a win over Eau Claire Memorial and a win over Chippewa Falls. For that reason, and that reason only, I got Eau Claire North representing Section 2 at the state tournament. Trash.
Val?
Oh, sorry.
I don't care. Whoever takes
it. Well, I thought I heard the mic drop after that one. Whew. Eau Claire Memorial, Rice Lake. I'm going to have to go with Eau Claire Memorial. And I'm going to go with Chippewa Falls over Eau Claire North. And just for the kind of for the reason that Burglar just said that the last time they played, Chippewa Falls fell to Eau Claire North. I think Chippewa Falls is definitely not going to be looking past this game until the final buzzer sounds. And I think Chippewa Falls wins this one And I would like to say Chippewa Falls is going to represent, but I'm going to have
to go ahead and say it.
I'm going to have to go with the number one seed and say Eau Claire Memorial is going to make it on down again. And with that, we'll ask Trasher his thoughts on this sectional.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Eau Claire Memorial has been there a bunch of times. They, no matter where they are at the end of the season record-wise, they always seem to really kick it up a notch and win the three games or two games, however many they need to win to get there. I think they'll handle Rice Lake. The bottom half, 2 and 3, these two teams have been pleasant surprises for their coaches, players, and fans this year. Both of them have been, I think, in the top 10 and honorable mentions, certainly. I'm going to go with Chip Falls simply because they're playing at home, and I think they'll just be one goal better, not necessarily an overtime game, but like a 3-2 game. And I still think that Memorial has got a lot of talent. They got Trevor Hudasek in net. They got Sam Hansen. They got some good players. Ben Zacco, who has been a really nice player. I've seen these guys play, I think, 3 times this year. And just when you think they're beat, they score 2 goals in 3 minutes to win the game. So I'm going to go with ECM to move back to Madison this year.
Okay, I guess that leaves me. ECM and Rice Lake, Eau Claire North and Chippewa Falls. I see Memorial beating Rice Lake. I see North getting over the hump and beating Chippewa Falls. The thing about you guys are missing about the North and Chippewa Falls games, that's a pair of brothers coaching against each other.
No, it's not.
My wife is correcting me. No, it's not. Just same last names. Okay.
Yeah, it's like when the Smith boys are coaching against each other.
The guys right? You're talking about the guys who make cough drops, right?
Yeah, but they're actually not brothers, but they're related.
Okay.
Go figure. Yeah, I made that same mistake. I thought maybe Ryan and Scott are brothers, but apparently they're not related at all, at least not that they know of.
Okay.
But it's a good story.
Oh, yeah, I tried to make it one, and I was corrected, which doesn't happen very often, by the way.
So who corrects you more often, Lori or me?
She does.
Okay.
Only because she's around more than you are.
There you go.
I'm gonna go with the Huskies to go to state. And you know why? I as much as I love Mike Schwengler and his guys, you're right. He represents and he's got a ton of talent there, but I just think this year it just seems like it's just not all quite there. And, I could be terribly wrong, but I'm going to go with North. I'm going to go Eau Claire North on this one. They're going to go to state for the first time since 2006, in my opinion. Section 3, Wausau West taking on Pines. DC Everest taking on Spash. I'll tell you what, guys, I'll take this one first. I'm going to have Wausau West beating Pines. I'm going to have Spash beating DC Everest. And I'm going to have I'm going to take Spash to go to state. I'm going to take Spash to go to state for the simple reason that they haven't been there in a while. Wausau West is, wasn't there last year, but that all changed. But I'm just going to take Spash this time. Bill, tell me how wrong I am.
I can't. I really can't. I think you're right with Wausau West over Pines. I think there's a slight opportunity for Pines in that Wausau West. I've seen them play where they put a ton of shots on, but don't score a lot of goals, and Pines is a good goaltender, and I can see this being a low-scoring game. But in the 2 games that I saw Pines play against Antigo, they only scored 1 goal in 2 games. So I can't see them scoring enough times on Wausau West. I can see them holding West down, but I can't see them scoring enough times on Wausau West to actually get the W. DC Everest has had a good season. They've been up and down. They've won some surprising games, and then they've lost some head scratching games too. Spash is capable of scoring in bunches, and for that reason, I mean, again, I think you got your Spash and West. The first time they played, you know, West got a ton of shots but didn't score much, and Spash scored a bunch at the end. The second time was a different story, but I think I'm going to have to go with MJ on this, that, you know, I think Spash has enough scoring potential, you know, to put in several goals on Wausau West. And, you know, if they can keep their defense intact, keep them away from their goal, you know, keep them away from their net, hold them down a little bit, I think Spash has the potential to upset and, you know, keep West out of the state tournament for the second year in a row.
When was the last time you had the chance to see West 2 years in a row, not at the state tournament? It don't happen very often.
Well, you idiots have been talking for so long that I managed to put my kids to bed, and I'm here now.
All right, well, we're on Section 3 Junior. Boys, Wausau West and Pines, DC Everest against Spash, what do you got?
Well, from my lofty vantage point, 12 hours out of Wisconsin, Wausau West is the most talented team in the state, bar none. As Bergler said, there are games where they just pile on the shots and don't score. And, you know, that happened their first time against Point. Their second time against Point, he said it was a different story. He didn't want to get into the specifics of the fact that Wausau West beat Spash 7-2 in that game. West is, in my mind, if you look at every game they've played this season, the most talented team in the state. They pile on the shots. They control the pace of play. Even in their losses, generally speaking, they controlled the puck more than their opponents did. Even in that loss to Hudson, they outshot them 28-18. And I think picking against West would be... I think you have to be high to do that in this section this year.
Delmar?
Wausau West and Spash in the sectional final. And I'm going to stick with my theme right now of running with the number one seed and take Wausau West.
Boy, you don't take a chance at all, do you?
Well, we ain't sectional four yet either, are we?
Okay. Michael.
Dude. What do you mean, fucking, man? Pretty much agree with what Junior said. I think West is very talented, very deep. And it'll most likely 99.87% be West and Spash in the final. But I think the depth and talent of Spash is a little bit better than Cole Caulfield and the team that he makes his team a lot better. He actually does. People think he's just a goal scorer, but he makes his team a lot better. He's got some good teammates on that team. They've played very solid. But I think the depth of West is just going to be too much for them to handle, and the Warriors are going to go to state this year.
Let's go to Section 4. Section 4 has West Salem taking on the Avalanche and RWD taking on Unalaska. Dell, you're going to go away from the theme of number ones on this one, maybe, or not.
Well, we got Eric Saracoach in West Salem against Tim Franzini, and I'll take West Salem there, but I go, you know, it's interesting, Franzini, you know, we just saw the article out there on our site where we had done the link to an article of having just finishing up his 30th year on a bench. I mean, to me, that's amazing. I'm having a hard time picturing 20 years and working at one place, let alone doing 30 years dealing with high school players on benches. Eric's done a heck of a job there at West Salem, you know, in getting that team playing even better than what they were before he got there. And so I'm going to take West Salem to advance to the sectional final. The second half of that bracket is RWD against Onalaska. And while most people know that RWD, you know, I know a lot of the kids that play there because my boys played for RWD. It's been basically 4 years since Colin last played there. And they're taking on Onalaska. Onalaska was on a 16-game winning streak before they lost their final game of the season, 7-2 to USM. They went on to beat Baraboo in the first round, you know, just this past weekend. And I want to take them to beat RWD. And they, in their only meeting against West Salem this year early in the season, they lost 4-3. I think that they're going to be refocused going into this game. Both teams are going to come in here very focused. But I think Onalaska is going to pull this out and win this game 3-2 to advance to state.
Junior.
Well, this section has a fairly recent history of the top seed not going to state. In fact, they've had some top seeds that we've called almost mortal locks piss away their chance at going to state out of this section. That said, I don't think that will happen this year. I think West Salem is the class of this section. I believe them and Onalaska will both advance in their semifinal games, but that West Salem is gonna end that, not end it, but, you know, avoid that streak where the Section 4 top seed manages not to go to state, and I think they'll be making the trip to Madison.
Michael?
I like West Salem. They played very well this year. Coach Borey's got a nice team. Jack Gorniak is one of the top players in the state as a junior. They got some pretty solid goaltending. I think they're going to beat just a smidge better than the Avalanche, who's had a very nice season, and I think they're going to fall a little bit short. On the bottom half, I know Adele likes RWD. The Cheevers got a nice team. Onalaska's always seems to be tough this time of year, and I think they're going to move on. But I also like West Salem to advance the state. They'll make their first appearance this year, guys.
Burglar?
Yes, sir. I've got to – the only team I've seen play out of this group is West Salem. I did see them play in Antigo. They lost 3-2. It was a very good game. West Salem came a little slow in that game. Antigo jumped out to an early lead, and West Salem looked really solid. As Trasher said, Gorniak is a very good player. The Antigo defense is pretty much keying on him. Gorniak's not very big, and the defense managed to keep him away. But I was really impressed with their goalie, Mitch Hammes. Hammes, whatever. He did a nice job. Just about every shot that was at him ended up in the corner. He's one of the best goalies I've seen this year at you know, controlling, you know, not giving up rebounds. Everything that was shot was either smothered or ended up in the corner. Did a nice job, and I think that that combination of Gorniak and Hammes, I think, is enough to take them to state this year.
What an observation is the way a goaltender plays. I think you cheated somehow. I think when you went to watch West Salem and Antigo play, I would bet you Bob Berg was along. Because that sounds like a Bob Berg observation.
No, he doesn't. He lives in Wausau, so he only accompanies me on away games. I was there by my lonesome.
Okay, somebody was whispering stuff in your ear. Anyways,
No, because, I mean, the guy who was next to me was a guy in the penalty box, and he's an idiot.
What were you doing in the penalty box? Feeling right at home.
There you go.
West Salem and the Avalanche, RWD and Onalaska. I'm going to pick West Salem for all the reasons that Burglar gave. Onalaska, I'm going to pick them over RWD. And then it faces me with two guys that I really think the world of and are fantastic guys. And they're also very good coaches. And I think this time, though, I think West Salem's going to sneak by Ebbs' Onalaska Hilltoppers. West Salem, I think it's their time. I think that they've been close a number of times. I think this year is the year they find the way to get to state. But if Onalaska beats them, I wouldn't be surprised at that either. But I'm going to take West Salem. Section 5, Nina taking on Appleton. Bayport taking on Notre Dame Academy. Burglar, start it out.
Well, I've seen Nina play a number of times this year, and they are just a solid team. They've got, you know, a couple of guys that are leading them. Alec Elkin, scoring. Their goaltender is fine. Defenseman Travis Tremel, I've really been impressed with him. I think Nina's really got a solid team, and I see them, being able to handle Appleton. Notre Dame, we saw them early in the tournament over in Eau Claire at the start of the tournament, and, kind of wrote them off in the first part of the season, but they have improved steadily as the season has gone on, and kept getting better. I see them beating Bayport and meeting Nina in the finals, but I just don't think that Notre Dame has closed the gap enough to beat Nina, Hortonville, and Menasha in the finals. What do you think, Trasher?
I'm still trying to figure out how Hortonville fits into this, because Hortonville is about 20 to 30 miles away, well, maybe not quite that far, 15 miles away, and to the best of my knowledge, there's no hockey rinks anywhere near that. So, anyway.
Actually, their varsity roster is pretty well split between Nina and Hortonville. There is one Menasha player on their JV roster, two players from Shiocton on their JV roster. So there, it really should be Nina, Hortonville, Shiocton. Because they got more players in there than Menasha does.
Okay, good to know. Well, I think and you hear this all the time, I think the championship game is going to be the sectional semifinal game. Nina and Appleton, I think whoever wins that is going to go to state. Got a chance to see Nina early in the year. They handled Spash quite easily at Spash. I think the score was 8-4. I saw Appleton play last week. They looked very tough. Bargholz, Gruber, those are two pretty good players right there. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Their young goalie, Olsen, did a very nice job in net. I don't know. That's a toss-up game. I think Nina maybe just a little bit better, though. So I'll move Nina.
You're lucky there, because Nina and Appleton had split. Had Nina beat Appleton twice during the year, then you'd have to go with Appleton, because it's hard to beat a team three times.
Right.
Junior, what's your take on this?
Honestly?
Shut those two knuckleheads up, Junior.
You don't want to hear my opinion. I think Appleton's going to beat Nina, Bayport's going to beat Notre Dame, and Bayport has the sixth seed going to Madison.
Ooh.
Wow. Bayport win to overtime in their last game with Notre Dame and their last game with Nina. They lost an overtime game with Anago earlier in the year. They beat Anago in overtime last Thursday. It's not that far-fetched.
Guys, Bayport was, I believe, in our top 10 or honorable mention early in the year, if I remember correctly.
I believe Delmar. They were in the preseason ranking, and they fell out quickly. But
before you go to Delmar, I think we should probably quit yakking and let Trasher finish his predictions.
Oh, okay.
We kind of interrupted him.
Sorry.
Continue, Michael.
No problem. I'll make this prediction, and then I'm going to shut the microphone off and go let Hudson inside. He's scratching at the window and the door, and I think he bit a hole in something. So, Bayport, Notre Dame. Notre Dame has the young goalie. I don't think their senior goalie came back yet. Buckley is only a freshman. He's played very well, but man, oh man, this is a tough spot for a young kid, especially in net. But that said, I think they have enough to beat Bayport. I'll put them against Nina in the final, but I'm going to move Nina to state this year, guys. Okay, I'm done.
Delmar.
So Nina versus Appleton, I'm going to go with Nina. Notre Dame, Bayport, I'm going to go with the 2 seed, and I'm going to be the one that picks Notre Dame to go to state out of this sectional.
Oh, okay. Appleton and Nina, Bayport and Notre Dame. I'm not the last one to pick this one, am I?
You are.
I am, okay. Well, so I think every team, has anybody picked Appleton to go to state?
No.
Okay, I'm going to pick them to go to state. That way we're all covered. I'll pick Appleton to beat Nina in an upset, Bayport to beat Notre Dame in an upset, and Appleton will win, and they will go back for a chance to repeat as state champions. I don't know if they'll do it.
I like the way MJ thinks.
He's the one that said it's hard to beat a team 3 times.
What was that again, Junior?
I said I like the way you think, because you picked the 4 and the 5, or the 5 and the 6.
Yeah. See, you guys ought to listen to me more often. Section 6, Verona against Madison West, Middleton against Sun Prairie. Now you're talking about teams I know.
But I'm gonna let Junior's going first.
So Junior's going first. Go ahead, Junior.
Sure, my one-word summary for Section 6 is Verona.
I second that emotion.
Trasher? Oh, he's still letting the cat in.
Yeah.
No, he's inside now.
Okay.
Maybe he'll talk a little bit too if we keep going here. Hey, there's a number 5 seed, Junior, Madison West. 5 or 6, right? I don't know. This has been one of those sections where I said 1 through 4, anybody can win it. And, about the time you say that, number 4 gets knocked out. Edgewood got beat. There's really not a lot of good records here, and I think that means they've been beating each other up. The top 3 seeds all play in the Big 8. And I'll defer to MJ on this one, but I think it'll be Verona. And, I don't know. That bottom bracket is a toss-up. But I'll take Middleton and Verona in the final, and then Verona is going to edge Middleton 3-2 to go to state. All right, MJ.
Verona, Madison West, Middleton, Sun Prairie. Middleton, Sun Prairie. I've had the chance to see both of them recently, and I'll tell you, I'm going to take Sun Prairie over Middleton. I think there's just a little bit more talent there. Sam Dunn can steal a game for you. And everybody knows how talented he is back there in net. So I'm going to take Sun Prairie in the sectional final to make it there. And Madison West against Verona. Knowing these two teams, and I know West has very, very good coaching. Their bench has some really fantastic coaches on it. Verona, Joel Marshall does a great job with his squads. Joel Marshall's got a very good senior class. They're a little bit suspect, I think, maybe in net. But Verona can score, and they can score a lot. I'm going to take Verona to go back to state, topping Sun Prairie. But I think Sam Dunn's going to keep Sun Prairie in it for quite a while.
It's funny, MJ, you keep mentioning Sam Dunn, and I've been sitting here waiting for my turn, and I'm going to ride Sam Dunn all the way to the state on this one. Sun Prairie's going to play Verona in the sectional final, and Sun Prairie's going to win this one and go to state.
J. Jr.?
We already went.
I already gave my one-word summary. It was just Verona.
Okay. Senior?
I seconded that.
Trasher.
Were you not paying attention? Right?
Okay. No. Let's move to section 7. Then.
Hey, it's three letters. J-O-B-S. Jobs. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Wrong sport.
Section 7, the bracket buster. If you had this bracket, thought you had it broken down, well, you're throwing your bracket away at this point because it's broken. Looking here, Waukesha taking on KMMO, 1 versus 5 and 6 versus 7 on the bottom half of the bracket. Guys, I'll let everybody go until I'll go last on this one to tell everybody how wrong they are.
You want me to go first then? Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. I think I'm just going to say Ian Malcolmson's going to lead Waukesha to state over Kenosha in the sectional final. Burglar?
I'm going to say the same thing, but I'm going to take a little bit longer to say it. yeah, I think Waukesha over KMMO. I've seen Waukesha play a couple of times this year. Malcolmson is at a different level than most of the other players in the state. He is that good. And the rest of their team is good enough to back him up. It's not a one-man team. He gets more assists and he gets goals. Waukesha's good. And I think I like getting texts. One of the teams that always I get a text from after the game, I like seeing Thunder win 4-2. And that's what I'm going to wait for on Tuesday is for my text that says Thunder win 4-2 over Beloit. But then I don't think I'm going to get that text on Saturday because I don't know that they've got enough to get past Waukesha. But I got Waukesha beating Kenosha in the final.
Michael?
It would be pretty wild. But based on what's happened in this bracket, maybe picking Kenosha as a number 7 to go to state might not be that far-fetched, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to go Waukesha over Kenosha. It'll probably be something along the lines of 5-1. So the Wings are going to fly back to Madtown. MJ?
Okay, who else hasn't went?
I agree with everybody. I think it's ultimately Waukesha over Kenosha to go back to Madison. I think the only thing that was surprising about this bracket was the margin of the Kenosha-Janesville game. I don't think Kenosha beating Janesville was that far-fetched. Beloit beating Marquette wasn't that far-fetched. KMMO beating WNS was not that far-fetched. That said, overall, I think that Section 7, other than Waukesha, was probably one of the weaker brackets in the state, and I think that makes it a little easier for Waukesha to go back to Madison.
And you know, how many times, guys, have we talked about this is one of the more deeper brackets in the last couple of years? Waukesha and KMMO, Beloit against Kenosha. Beloit topping Marquette 2-1. These two teams played early in the season, very early. And Marquette had to go to overtime to win that one. Beloit, obviously, this time, able to get a little bit of revenge. Kenosha was beaten by Beloit and Janesville badly in their games against those two teams. Kenosha comes back and beats Janesville, scoring 4 goals in the third period, which I wasn't there to be an observer, but boy, really scratched my head about that one. But you know what? The game's at Beloit on Tuesday night. Edwards Ice Arena can be a little bit difficult to play at. It's going to be kind of warm in there just because of the weather. You know what? I'm going to take Beloit on the home ice on that one. And Beloit's going to drive up to Janesville Ice Arena. They're going to face Waukesha there. And in this pick, I think it's going to be Waukesha to go to state again because Ian Malcolmson and Garrett Larson, and there's a pair of brothers on the team, that I can't remember their names. I've met them before, and they're very good tandem as well. But, boy, I'll tell you what, the forwards from Beloit, they have a top line that can fill it up in a hurry. But I don't know after that top line if they can hold off Waukesha, so I'm going to go ahead and take Waukesha to go to state. But since I'm the only one who'll take Beloit.
Would that be the Wilderman brothers?
Wilderman
and Wyatt? Or the Dietrich brothers?
Oh, good question. No, I was thinking more of the Wilderman brothers. The Dietrich brothers, you know, if Zed would have been a little bit younger, made for a very interesting team.
Mm-hmm.
You could have had one line and one pair of D all being coming from two families on the ice at the same time. Anyways, let's move on to Section 8. Arrowhead taking on Waupun and USM taking on Brookfield. Michael, go ahead.
Okay, number one Arrowhead against number five Waupun. Waupun has been surprising people on and off throughout the year. Just when you think you can write them off, they keep on winning. And they took out Fond du Lac Springs 4-1. And now they face number three ranked Arrowhead, I believe. I think Arrowhead's just going to be a little bit too much for them this time. So their string is going to come to an end. Arrowhead will move on to the championship game. And I believe University School will also move on. And then I'm going to pick Arrowhead. They've just been very tough this year. They have a couple of good defensemen in Tormala and Cox. They have Peter Genatempo, who's a very solid goalie. He's had put up some nice numbers this year. They have some scoring punch. USM has got a very deep team. They got talent up and down. They got some good goalies. Frank Fee is a very good netminder. The young Repke kid is a freshman defenseman. He's going to be an awesome player, I think, at some point. I mean, he's very good now. He's going to get that much better. But I think Arrowhead and Carl Vallemont are going to go back to state. Whoever wants it next can have it.
How about one of the Berg boys?
Well, I'll go then. It took us, I don't know, a month or a month and a half this season to recognize that Arrowhead was putting together a fine season. But Arrowhead has two losses and one tie on the season. Their two losses were an early loss to Nina Horton-Ville Menasha, a team that some of us have picked to go to the state tournament. A late loss earlier this month to Waukesha, another team that some of us have picked to go to the state tournament, and a tie to Verona, who some of us think is going to represent their section in the state tournament. So unless you're going to be representing your section in the state tournament, you probably are not going to beat Arrowhead. Which means that anybody that does beat Arrowhead in this is going to be in the state tournament and obviously proves me right. So my pick is Arrowhead over USM to go to state.
Wow, that was an amazing bit of circular logic.
Thank you.
although I also agree. And top to bottom, Arrowhead is the class of the section. USM's a good team for all the reasons that Trasher listed. I just don't think... I think offensively they're pretty good. I don't know that they're as strong overall as they've been in the past, and I think Arrowhead's got as good a team now as they've probably ever had before.
They did win the state tournament before, you know.
Yep.
Yes, they did.
And I'm saying this team can match that
good?
One. Can match that one. They could do it as well.
There we go. You heard it first.
So you're saying Connor McBride and Nick Cohn and David Clark and Brian Berger, those names may be matched by another Arrowhead set of players.
By Elijah Tormala and Peter Gentitempo and, you know.
Okay. Guys who probably watched those guys win state that year. Michael, how do you see this one?
I picked Arrowhead.
Okay, Delmar.
I picked Arrowhead to beat Waupun, USM to beat Brookfield, and then in the championship game, I'm going to go with Arrowhead, as they did beat USM earlier in the season by a 6-3 score, and so I pick Arrowhead to win the sectional.
Okay, guys, I see this one, Brookfield and USM. I'm going to take USM in this one. Arrowhead and Waupun, I'm going to take Arrowhead, but don't be surprised if Waupun gives them some trouble. And in the sectional final, I'm going to take Arrowhead. They're on their home ice. They haven't had to leave their ice through this tournament, and I don't think that they're going to break serve on that. I think they're going to go ahead and run the table, as Aaron Rodgers would say, in the playoffs on home ice, and I think Arrowhead's going to go to state and look pretty good doing it. So I'm going to take Arrowhead over USM. Nice to see everybody go out on a limb.
Lots of number ones picked tonight.
Well, when you look at it,
there's a reason they were number one.
Well, yeah, there's a reason they're number one. And also, you know, it's fun to talk about, but what ifs? You know, what if so-and-so plays a hot game in net, or, you know, who's back from an injury? You know, there's so many things about high school hockey. There's so many things that can be intangibles that that can really change who wins and loses a game.
Well, then at this time of the season, you also hope nobody comes down with the flu on the day of the big game.
Well, that's true. And I remember when Janesville went to state in 2008, one of their top line forwards couldn't play because he came down with mono. And never got a chance to play at state again. So, yeah, those things happen. So everybody live in a plastic bubble for the next week and try to avoid – eat all your germ fighters, as my mother would say. So, guys, made our picks, and we'll see what happens from there. Any final thoughts?
Yeah. Keep your cards and letters coming. You got any hate mail, send it to Trasher at WisconsinPrepHockey.net. And if you haven't made a donation yet, go ahead. It's on the website. Help us out. Help us fund our state tournament run. It's coming right down to it. We got this week, and then next week is state tournament. We're trying to cover as many games as we can, and your cards and letters and cash help us do that. So thanks for making this website what it is, and that's about it, guys.
And actually, if you made it through this entire podcast, we should probably send you some money.
If you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning listening to this podcast, you must really be desperate for entertainment.
Well, according to Skype, this call has been going on for 2 hours and 27 minutes.
Well,
yeah, but not all of it was being recorded. Not the first hour, anyway.
Or was it?
That was just us babbling.
What you do, Junior?
And the recording was.
What you do, Junior, is go back and you edit out everything Burglar said, so everybody'll think he wasn't even here. But anyways, I guess my final thought on this is good luck to all the teams this week for boys and girls, and minor off ice officials, be nice. So for Burglar Jr., Trasher, Del Scanlon, I'm Mike Hammett. Hey, good luck to all the teams, and we'll be talking about it next week on Wisconsin Prep Hockey.
Well, that was fun.
All right.
It was interesting.
Burglar, are you going to put the Players of the Week on this week?